Gospel of Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, we continue on with the parable the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching to His disciples, to the Pharisees and the scribes, to the publicans and to the sinners, all these different groups as they're gathered listening to Him. We'll begin in Luke chapter 15 and verse 8. We covered verse 1 through 7 last week, so Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse number 8. We're only going to read three verses. Don't get your hopes up. You say, well, surely the preacher can't preach 45 minutes on three verses. Want to bet? Luke chapter 15, verse number 8. Follow along, if you would, in your Bible as I read Luke chapter 15, beginning in verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have lost the piece which I had lost. I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Let's go to the Lord together in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You for the privilege that is ours to be here today. We thank You, God, for just the health that You've given us. Father, the ability to be here, to gather here, to fellowship with each other, and Father, most of all, to fellowship with You. And God, we ask that You would be foremost in our thoughts for the next few moments as we look at Your Word. We consider Your will for our lives, and Father, Your desire for all the world. Father, I pray we put all other things out of our minds, that the Spirit of God would take the Word of God and search our hearts, and Father, just examine the deepest recesses of our hearts and our being. Lord, help us to recognize our place before You, and Father, what You have done for us through the giving of Your Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary's cross. We pray, Father, should there be one today who does not have the promise or the assurance of eternal life, does not know for sure that if something would happen to them, they would immediately go to the presence of God in heaven. We pray, Father, they would put all other things behind as secondary. Father, they would consider their soul's condition above all other things. They would see the love of God as it's explained in these verses. Father, they would come today trusting Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of their sins and for eternal life. For we that are saved, Father, give us a vision of the world that's out there that is like this lost piece of silver. Father, we thank You for this story. We thank You for the illustration it gives us. We pray we take it to heart this morning as we search it in the depths of Your Word. But we ask these things today in Jesus Christ's precious name. Amen. If you'll recall, we are looking at the second part of a three-part parable. In other words, the Lord said in the beginning of Luke chapter 15 that He spake a parable unto them. And in this one parable, there are three parts. We looked at the first part last week, and that was the shepherd that was out seeking the lost sheep. And that is a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ seeking those that are lost, that sheep that has left the fold, that is in danger out in the wilderness. Jesus Christ is seeking to save that which is lost. This morning we look at the piece of silver and the woman that is seeking diligently for the piece of silver. And we see illustrated by it the work of the Holy Ghost as He speaks to hearts and illuminates and opens up eyes and has the gospel as it's preached by human lips. The Holy Ghost is able to take it and to apply it to the heart as the need is there. And the Holy Ghost is involved in seeking the lost. The third part we'll get to next week is the Father. And the Father is not out seeking. The Father is simply waiting. He's waiting for the lost to return. He's waiting for the prodigal to come home. And so we see in the salvation of mankind an active part on all three parts of the Trinity. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Their number one objective is to seek lost things. This morning we come to the woman seeking the lost piece of silver. There are many contrasts and comparisons in each of these parables. As we think about the parable of the lost silver this morning, there are going to be some things that are similar to the parable of the lost sheep. At the same time, there are going to be some things that contrast the story of the lost sheep. And so we'll see those as we look at it this morning. The shepherd seeking the sheep last week. The woman seeking the silver this week. First of all, let me say this. We see that the gospel is not what we would call in our day gender specific. All right, that makes me politically correct when I say that. Gender specific. In other words, the shepherd was busy seeking the sheep. The woman is busy seeking the silver. Both of these stories, both of these parables, as it were, are illustrations of mankind seeking today that which was lost. Not only that the Lord and the Holy Ghost are seeking that which is lost, but that you and I are to be active in the Father's business in seeking the lost also, and it's not just a man's job to do. It's not just for the shepherd, for the men, to go out and seek the lost sheep. It is also for women to do in seeking the lost silver. Men and women together working to reach that which is lost. The Bible explains to us today that our society is lost, just like this sheep or this silver, or in the next story, that son. The society we live in is made up of people that predominantly are without Jesus Christ, are without faith for the next life, are without hope for heaven. You say, how can you make that statement? Because the Bible simply declares that broad is the way that leads to destruction, and many there be that go in thereat. Few, and narrow is the road that leads to life, and few that be that find it. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And so in a multitude, a 6.7 billion occupied earth, right now the Bible is very clear and specific in saying Jesus Christ is the only way. That limits the population because the majority of people are not looking through Jesus Christ. You say, well, you're talking about Muslim countries and Buddhist countries and Oriental religions and all that. No, I'm talking about the United States of America. Because the majority of people here on our precious homeland are looking to something other than Jesus Christ, if they're looking at all. Most are not even looking. Most are too preoccupied with the economy and health care and their toys and possessions and all that. They're not interested in eternity. They're not worried about it. That takes a whole chunk out of them right there. The rest of them are thinking, well, I'll get there by my baptism or my good works or my church membership or my giving of finances or something. And they're looking everywhere but the only source of eternal life, which is Jesus Christ. So the Bible tells you and I, men and women, male and female alike, that what we need to be occupied with is what the shepherd is occupied with and what the Holy Ghost is occupied with, and that is finding that which is lost. Let's look at this parable or this story that's given to us about the lost silver. First of all, notice if you would in verse number 8. In verse number 8, we find the falling of the silver. It says in verse number 8, either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it? Here's a woman that has 10 pieces of silver, all very precious to her, I'm sure. The Bible does not elaborate on what the silver is for. Some have suggested that this was a necklace with 10 pieces of silver that was her dowry or her gift at proposal. Some would say, well, that's just her money for the week's groceries or the month's groceries or paying the home expenses. The Bible doesn't tell us what the money was for. It just tells us that this woman thought so much of it that when she lost it, she did everything she could to find it. It was very precious to her. But here is one of 10 pieces of silver that falls from her possession onto the dirt floor of her home, and she begins to look for it. The silver has fallen. It is no longer in its intended place. It is not where it is supposed to be. It has fallen to the ground. Contrast that to the sheep that wandered out of the fold and into the wilderness and was in danger. This piece of silver was in no imminent danger like that sheep was to the wolves and to the coyotes and so forth. And yet it was just as lost. It was just as much out of the possession of the person in whose possession it should be. Though it was in no imminent danger, it still was lost. You know, the Bible tells us that that's our condition. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, so death has passed upon all men because all have sinned. You know, this woman had that coin in her possession, but it fell. It fell to the ground. Adam was created in the image of God, perfect and sinless, just like the God that created him. But when the serpent came calling and deceived Eve into taking of the fruit of the garden, and then Adam, not being deceived, but out of her love for Eve, took also of that garden. The Bible says that his disobedience to God in the Garden of Eden made it cause that his seed forever, throughout all the ages, would be fallen from its original position. God made Adam of the dust of the ground. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. What a perfect human being that was. But because of the fall in the Garden of Eden, that man was tainted by sin. And all of his progeny and ancestors from that day, the Bible says, had been born into sin and stamped with that sin, though not originally intended for it. Just like that woman's lost piece of silver, we as a human race have fallen to the ground out of the possession for which God intended us to fulfill. Think about that piece of coin, if you would, for just a moment. There's a story told in Matthew chapter 22 where some Pharisees came and tried to trick Jesus Christ. That's a good phrase, isn't it? Tried to trick Jesus Christ. And they said, is it right to give to Caesar or not? And Jesus said to them, give me a coin. He took that piece of silver and he said, whose image, whose superscription is this? And they looked on the front, and of course, just like our coinage in America with Lincoln and Washington or whoever else is on it, they said, well, that's Caesar's. And he said, well, render unto Caesar that which is Caesar's, render unto God that which is God's. Those coins had an image on them, and that image was the image of the king. You and I, when originally created by the hand of God, were made in the image of the king. We were made in the image of God. Our first father, Adam, was made in the image of our heavenly Father. We could go into a lot of details about that, whether Adam possessed the blood and the things in us. But Adam was made in a perfect image of God. But he fell from that position. He fell down into the dirt. He fell into the uncleanness and thereby plunged all the human race with him down into that. Now you and I can look back and say, well, if it wasn't for Adam, I'd still be perfect like God. The fact of the matter is, you and I were conceived in sin. With the minute we were conceived in our mother's womb, that's a good message for those that don't know where life begins. When we were conceived in our mother's womb, the Bible says we became sinners by nature right then. Not soon afterward, we became sinners by choice also. But we lost that original image that was stamped upon us. We fell from that place at which God had created us, and we fell down, and since that condition have been lost and outside of the reach of a loving Heavenly Father. Think, if you would, about that fall of that piece of silver. The circumstances of that fall. Unlike the sheep that wandered out into the wilderness, this piece of silver was lost not out in the wilderness, but lost in the house. It wasn't very far away. It was in close proximity. It was right in the house. And yet it was just as lost as that sheep wandering in the wilderness. And I tell you this morning, it doesn't matter if you were raised in a Christian home. It doesn't matter if you were taught Christian values. It doesn't matter if your mom and dad were Christians. It doesn't matter if your brothers and sisters are Christians. If you don't individually and personally receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, you'll go to hell. I take no pleasure in saying that. It gives me no joy to say that. But the Bible truth is that every individual is responsible themselves for receiving Jesus Christ as Savior. Your dad could be the greatest saint that ever lived. Your mother could be the greatest saint that ever lived. Your brothers or sisters could be serving God in full-time service, doing this thing or that thing. That has no reflection on your relationship to your God. You will stand individually before Him. And you might have had the best of circumstances being raised up. How many times do I witness to people and hear them say, oh, I was raised in a Christian home and I was taken to Sunday school and Mom drugged me to church. You know, Curtis Hudson's son always says, I was drugged when I was a kid. I was drugged to Sunday school and I was drugged to church and I was drugged to revival meetings and I was drugged there. You might have been taken to everything that ever went on in the church. But if you don't personally receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, none of those things mean anything. You don't get into heaven by the number of times you entered in through the church door. You don't get into heaven because your mom or dad was a good Christian person or any other relative. You get to heaven by you being lost and being found. This piece of silver was lost in the house, not outside in the wilderness, but right in the proximity of the person to whom it belonged. It was lost. You know, it is possible for you to be lost and sit in Bible Baptist Church every Sunday. I'd hope it's not probable, but it is possible. I have heard of preachers getting saved after years of preaching. I have heard of preachers' wives or missionaries getting saved after years of serving God. And I have heard of church members after 20 years of sitting in a pew and singing the songs and being active and maybe even being a deacon or serving in some capacity. I've heard after 20 years they finally came to the realization, you know, I've heard it all so many times before and I've nodded my head in agreement and I recognize it is true, but I've never personally received it. You can be lost and be a member of Bible Baptist Church. Wouldn't it be a shame to get up before the Lord Jesus Christ at that day of judgment and look and say, I sat there Sunday after Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and heard the gospel explained hopefully clearly so I could understand it and yet die without Jesus Christ. This piece of silver was lost right there in the house in close proximity to the one who had lost it. I trust that there's no one here this morning under the sound of my voice that is counting on this church to save you. That is counting on this preacher to save you. This preacher can't save himself. I had to turn to Jesus Christ as my salvation. You need to turn to Him for yours also. We all need Jesus Christ. His blood is the only thing that can wash away sin. His thing is the only thing powerful enough to cleanse you. And His blood is the only thing that God the Father will recognize in that day of judgment as the thing that washed away your sins. I hope that you will today, if not already, today you will trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. That you will realize God put you in this building at this time to hear this message so that your heart would be given to Jesus Christ and you would not perish but have everlasting life. The circumstances of the fall. Notice secondly the consequences of the fall. This piece of silver, probably clean. The woman had it in her possession. Maybe even polished if it was a keepsake. But once it fell, it was just as dirty as anything else that was on the ground. The homes back in Israel in those days were much like many homes are in third world countries today. Walls and a roof, but the floor was nothing more than the dirt ground. And they would take homemade brooms, as it were, just pieces of straw sticking out, bundled together on a stick, and they would sweep out the leaves and sweep out the clumps of dirt and everything else, but the floor was still a dirt floor. And here is this piece of silver that had an intended use that now is down in the dirt. That silver might have been used to pay their tribute, their tax. It might have been used to buy their food. It might have been used to give to charity to some poor person. But right now it is completely useless because it's lost. You know, there's a great lesson in that. There's a lot of people today that think that their service to God is going to get them into heaven. That piece of coin that's down in the dirt can do nothing for anybody else because it's lost. It has an intended use. It has an intended purpose. But being down on the ground covered over with dirt, it cannot be found. It cannot do anything of use. The Bible tells us in Isaiah chapter 64 that we are all as an unclean thing. The best that we have to boast of and to brag of before God, to Him, the Bible says, is like a pile of dirty rags. We get up, someone will try to get up and show God, God, look what I have done. Here are my works. Here is my service. Here are my good deeds. I offer them up to You. I did them for Your service. And Jesus will look at those good works. And the Bible says they will burn up before Him. They're of no use. The only thing that God the Father recognizes as a payment for our sin is the precious blood of His own Son. If our works could get us into heaven, why did God give His Son to die on Calvary's cross? If our works could get us into heaven, why did the heavens turn to darkness for the 3 hours while Jesus was there and God the Father had to turn His Son, His back on His only begotten Son? Why did He go through all that if our good works could save us? But see, the Bible tells us that because of that fall, we're down in the dirt. Because of that fall, we're down on the ground. And until we are found, we're of no use. Until we've been found, we have no purpose in our life. That means that a lost person today is simply spinning their wheels, getting through this life. Because no matter how successful or how many accomplishments they get in this life, without Jesus Christ, when they die, those things mean nothing. You could be the President of the United States, the head of the United Nations, the head of your community, a person broadly known and popularly known as a very good person, but without Jesus Christ, when death comes, all those things are over. The only way they mean anything is if you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior and you hear the Father say later, all those things now mean something because you were lost, but then you were found. I'm not saying we ought not do good works, but good works are a result of our salvation, not the cause of our salvation. You and I as believers in Jesus Christ ought to have more good works than anybody else has. But we're not depending on them to get us found. We know that only God can find us. It became useless. It became unclean. It was dirty. It was defiled. It was of no purpose. It was of no use. So you and I look through human eyes. We look at society. We value the world upon that which we see. Men of position, men of power or popularity, women of authority, all these different things, we look and think that those are accomplishments in this life. But death is a great equalizer. And death eliminates everything that's been accomplished in this life up to that point unless it's been done on the basis of faith in Jesus Christ. We're just like that lost piece of silver. We have become useless and unclean because we have been dropped, we're in the dirt, and we're not found. The falling of the silver in verse number 8. Then we move on to verse number 9. The finding of the silver. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found that piece which I had lost. When the woman discovered the silver was missing, she searched until she found it. She didn't give up until she had it back in her possession. She would not be distracted by anything else until she found that lost piece of silver. The thing that motivated her was finding that silver. What motivated the shepherd to go out and seek the sheep? It was the danger to the sheep. The shepherd left the 99 in the fold because that one was in danger. Some other animal might attack it. Some human might steal it or take it away. That sheep was in danger, and so the shepherd was motivated to go find it. Before you and I trust Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're in danger in this world. We're in danger in this life. We're living without hope and without God in this world. But what motivated the woman to seek the lost piece of silver? It wasn't in danger. No one was going to attack it. No one could steal it. They didn't even know it was lost. But it was her desire. It was precious to her. And so she went out and sought diligently and looked for it. You know, a lot of people get saved, and I'm one of them, because they realize they're in danger. When I got saved, as you know, I was listening to a message about hell. And it scared me, and I realized I need to trust Jesus Christ because I don't want to receive the payment for my sin, which is separation from the love of God for eternity in hell. And because of that danger I was in, like the sheep, because of that danger, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that's a great motivating factor. But you know there's a greater motivating factor? And that's love. Some people get saved not because they're afraid of hell, not because they're afraid of judgment, not because of they're afraid of punishment for their sin, but they get saved because they're just astounded and amazed that God could love them. See, what motivated this woman to find that coin? It was precious to her. It was of value to her. You know that every lost soul is of value to God? We need to remember that sometimes in our witnessing because we treat people as if they're just simply enemies of ours. We tend to speak to them sometimes as if, you know, they're just, they're not on our side and they're not with us, so they're against us. And we forget that God counts every soul as a precious soul and will do anything to reach out and find them. This woman sought diligently all the night. When nightfall came, she lit a candle to look for it. She would not give up. She searched with all her energy. She wanted to find that which is precious to her. That was what motivated her. We emphasize the need of salvation. You need to get saved because God doesn't want to send you to hell. You need to get saved because your sins are awful and wicked and ungodly and unclean before Him. And all these things are true. But you need to get saved because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. See, the love of God ought to motivate people to get saved. There are a lot of people that need, you and I, once we're saved, ought to serve God, not just out of fear, though that's part of it, but out of love. recognizing that in love He sent down His Son to die for our sins so that you and I could get saved. There's no greater love than the love that God has for us. When we were lost, He sought us. Not just because we were in danger, but because we were precious to Him and He cared about us. Notice what the woman did. It says here in verse number eight. What woman, if she lost one piece, does not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently? Light a candle. She was not going to give up. She was going to do everything within her ability to find that piece of silver. It might have gone under a bed. Might have gone under a chest of drawers. I don't know what kind of furniture they had back then, a chair. And she lit the candle and went looking everywhere and sought everywhere to find that lost piece of silver. She lit a candle. The Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 119, verse 105, that the Word of God is like a lamp and like a light. And it is the Bible that is what is being used by the Holy Ghost to speak to hearts. Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." It is the Bible that is able to penetrate your arguments and mine. Your conversation and mine can't accomplish anything. It's the Word of God that is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Sometimes people say, "Well, I try to talk to this person and they want to know all these questions. They want to know, what about this and what about that and what about this and what about that?" You say, they say, "What should I tell them?" I say, ignore all the questions. And tell them the Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And if they say, "Well, what about that creation thing? And where's the unicorns? And where did Cain get his wife?" Say, "But you know, all that's not really important. You need to realize this, that God so loved the world that He gave." Use the Bible. Use the Word of God. All the arguments being answered are just going to satisfy their curiosity, not going to reach their heart and soul. You give the Word of God, and every time they try to get away from it, come back to the Word of God. And it will do the job of finding that lost soul. She lit that lamp. She lit a candle. She used it to light her way so that she could find that which is lost. And in the end, by lighting it, it gave her the assistance to find that which is lost. Use the Word of God. Put it on a bumper sticker. Put it on a t-shirt. Put it on your forehead. Doesn't matter. Put it somewhere so people will see the Word of God. The Scripture signs that many of you have in your yard are a great testimony or witness when somebody goes by, that if nothing else in that day, they at least for a moment will see and consider the Word of God. And there's no telling what God will use that Scripture to do to burn it into their hearts and into their mind. You and I need the illumination that comes from the Word of God. Notice also when this woman swept the house, she had to sweep the floor to find the silver. She had to get busy and do something and clean out all the dirt to be able to find the silver. She had to get the dirt out of the house to find the piece of silver that was lost in the house. You know, a lot of churches need a good sweeping out. Need all the dirt to get out. You know, the popular phrase today is, "Well, just come as you are." Now here at Bible Baptist Church, we never reject anybody. We never say, "You can't come in these doors." There's just nothing like that. You come as you are, but we're going to encourage you to leave different than you came. So the average church today is just worried about getting more and more and more people in there, and so they'll bring them in and say things that will make them feel good about themselves or motivate themselves, but they'll never deal with issues of sin, salvation, heaven and hell, the Ten Commandments. They'll deal with coping and sharing and handling stress and all that because they don't want anybody going. We need to sweep the dirt out of the church. We need to stop. The woman did not get down on the dirt floor and crawl through it to find the silver. She stood up on her two feet and reached down to bring the silver up. She didn't get down on the ground to do it. There are a lot of ways in which the church is being influenced today to lower their standard, to come down from where they are and be more like the people. And they'll have the concerts in there and try to appeal to lost people's value of music. Now, I don't know about you, but to me that just sounds ridiculous. Appeal to lost people's value of music and use that as an instrument in the church to get them to come in. No, you know what she used? The candle. She used the light. The Word of God is what will save people, not music at their level. Not music that appeals to them as lost sheep outside of the fold. We need to sweep out the church. This woman swept diligently. She had a holy look to her. She was seeking for that which was lost. She had a holy life. She lived exemplary. And the reason people aren't getting saved in our day as masses as they were 20 and 30 years ago is because the church has changed and come down to the standard of the world instead of expecting the world to come up to the standard of the church. There's nothing old-fashioned about that. There's nothing outdated or archaic about that. It's simply this. You and I are trying to have a holy look and a holy life and walk right before God. We don't need to lower ourselves to get people to come in. Be more like them so that they'll come here. We need to show the example of Christ to show them what Jesus Christ can do for them. This woman swept out the house. She didn't get down on the floor, but she cleaned it. Notice her dedication in verse 8. She sought diligently till she found it. The woman's dedication. She wasn't going to give up till that lost piece of silver was found. There's some of us in here been praying for a mother, a father, a brother, sister, aunt, uncle, cousin, friend. Been praying for a long time that person would get saved. And after all these years, they still haven't come to hope in the gospel of Christ. May I say this, as long as they're alive and breathing, it's still time to pray for them. Somebody says, well, I've been praying 20 years and I haven't seen anything. Don't give up now. It's not over yet. You just keep on praying. This woman did not give up. She did not sit down and say, well, that's it. I've searched the whole house. It's not in here. Have you ever done that? You ever lost your cell phone and looked for it? You ever... Where's Sonia? Oh, can't use that illustration. You ever looked for your glasses and couldn't find where they are? Or in her case, her sunglasses. I'll get in trouble, but I got to tell you. And she'll tell you this is true. She was looking for her sunglasses. She had one pair here and another pair around her neck. And she was looking for her sunglasses. I didn't say that. This woman did not give up in searching. She searched diligently until she found it. If your neighbor is without Christ, keep witnessing. If your co-worker is without Christ, don't give up on them. They have a soul that's going to live for eternity. What is our 10, 50, 60, 70 years compared to their eternity? Just keep praying, keep working, keep seeking, keep looking. Don't give up hope. This woman sought diligently. She looked carefully. She looked continuously. It was a quality search. She looked everywhere to try to find that lost piece of silver. And the result of her searching was, I have found that which was lost. The falling of the silver in verse 8. The finding of the silver in verse 9. And then finally verse 10. The fuss over the silver. This story ends finding the lost piece of silver. This story ends with joy and rejoicing because she found that which was lost. The cause of the fuss, she found the lost piece of silver. Here's where this story goes along with the story of the lost sheep. They are both similar in their result. That which was sought for was found. Will you use that as a basis when you come before God? Say, God, I know that this person's going to get saved. God, I am trusting that you will work in their heart and you will open their eyes and they will come to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Some cases are just hard cases. You meet religious folks, they're a lot tougher than non-religious folks. You know, this is going to sound like a wild statement, but hear it out. There is a way in which I thank God that I was raised in a home where I never went to church. Now, some of you are looking at me like, what in the world are you talking? You're a preacher. I'm thankful I was not raised in a church because when I heard the message of salvation, I had no church tradition to question it. When I heard Jesus Christ died for your sins, you need to trust Him as your Savior, I didn't have anything to say, yeah, but my church says. Because one of the main obstacles I find with people today that have a religious background is when you try to witness and give them the gospel, they say, but my church teaches this, or my pastor says that, or we've always done it this way. That is a main obstacle to people trusting Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so in that degree, I'm thankful I did not have that background to fall upon, that when the Lord came and sought me, I did not say, well, Lord, I thought it was this way. I thought it was that way. I was just spiritually dumb. And I thank God that I was. Because that's what it takes to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. To give up on everything else and simply put faith and trust in Him. The cause of the fuss was she lost the silver. Notice what she did. The Bible says, just like in verse 6, when the man found the sheep, he rejoiced with his friends and his neighbors. So this woman in verse number 9, it says, she calleth together her friends and her neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I found the peace which I lost. It meant a lot to her. That one piece, 1 out of 10. She had the other 9, but that 1 out of 10 meant enough to her that she sought diligently until she found it. And when she found it, she thought enough to call her friends together and say, come and rejoice with me. It meant a lot to her. She made a big deal over that. And notice what happened. They came and they rejoiced. And Jesus said in verse 10, likewise I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. Just like the story of the lost sheep. What is important in heaven? The thing that's important in heaven today is not who will win the coming election. It's not who won the collision in California or whatever that football game was called yesterday. Not who's going to win the Academy Awards or the Emmys or anything else. You know what's important in heaven? When one soul comes to Jesus Christ. Because their eternal destiny has now been changed. That person that was headed for a lake of fire in separation from the love of God for all eternity, in pain and suffering, as the rich man cried out in hell and said, Father Abraham said to Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. That one that was headed for that eternity, now by faith in Jesus Christ, has had it permanently changed, and now is going to walk on a street of gold with the gates of pearl and the presence of Jesus Christ and the saints of God. You know what that causes in heaven? It causes a rejoicing. That's what causes happiness in heaven. You know what it takes to make that happiness? It says in verse 10, over one sinner that repenteth. What does it take to cause that happiness? For one that is lost, whether out in the wilderness or right here in the house, one that is lost to recognize, my way is not right. My way is wrong. That's what repentance is. Recognizing you're wrong and God's right. When it comes to sin, somebody says, I'm not a sinner. God says, you are a sinner. Repentance is saying, well, if God says that, I must be wrong because He's never wrong. I repent of what I think. I accept what God thinks. I'm a sinner. Then God says, well, sinners go to hell. And a person says, well, I don't think I'm that bad. I don't think I'll go there. But God says this, I repent of what I think. I accept what God thinks. And God says the only way to avoid that is to receive my Son Jesus Christ as your Savior. And you say, well, I don't think I have to do it that way. I think I could do this or this or that. Repentance is recognizing you're wrong and God is right and receiving God's way and trusting Jesus Christ as Savior. And when that happens, it might be a holy hush down here on earth, but it is a heavenly shout up there in heaven. When someone bows their head and says, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know I don't deserve to get into heaven. But I understand that you sent your Son to die for my sins on Calvary. And the best I know how, I now trust Him as my Savior and ask you to forgive my sins and take me to heaven when I die. Everybody down here might not, it might be happening down here and you're whispering a prayer and nobody beyond the first few hears it. And everybody when church is over gets their stuff together and goes out the door and it's just no big deal down here. But the minute you pray that prayer and heaven hears it, they're going wild. They're celebrating. They're rejoicing over one sinner that repents. The lost sheep was in the wilderness. The shepherd went out and found it. The lost silver was in the house. And the woman sought diligently till she found it. I wonder if the Holy Ghost, as He's present here this morning, goes to each and every heart. And I know how He works. According to what the Bible says, He goes to each and every heart and speaks to that heart. And the Bible says the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if the Holy Spirit comes to your heart, you say, "Yeah, I know I'm saved. I remember when I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and forgive my sins. He changed my life. There's no doubt in my mind I'm saved." But He comes and touches some hearts, and some hearts say, "I don't know. I'm just not sure. I don't know I've ever done that." That's the one that the shepherd is out seeking right now. That's the one that the woman is sweeping diligently, looking right now for you to not be lost, but to be found, so that heaven might rejoice. Let's stand together this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. Are you the silver that's lost? Is God looking for you this morning? Is He trying to find you down in the dirt of this world? Bring you out and clean you up? He'll do it when you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Salvation is a one-time thing. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Spiritual salvation is talking about the day that you recognize you're a sinner without God. And you recognize that without Jesus Christ in your heart, you'll bust hell wide open. And that God loved you enough to give His Son Jesus Christ for you. Just for you. If you were the only one. And He's waiting for you to trust His Son for salvation and eternal life. It's on your shoulders. It's up to you. God's done everything He can do. Maybe today you need to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. With every head bowed and every eye closed, no one looking around, I wonder how